Hello, Wes. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, thank you so much. I've been really excited for this episode because for the longest time, I want to do something about communities and pairing it with customer success. Obviously, it just seems like a match made in heaven, and especially for it's an overdue subject on the podcast, Customer Success Collective. We're a platform, we're a community-led platform. So it's really fantastic to have you on the podcast to talk about that, the benefits of communities, particularly when it comes to scaling your customer success function. So, but before we actually go in, before I, interrogate you about everything there is to know about communities, that's a great start, isn't it? Communities and customer success. Would you mind telling our listeners maybe a little bit about you and about your journey into customer success and what it's like being a scale CSM at Catalyst?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my journey into customer success was a little bit unique for than some, but I think it had a lot of value. So after graduating from university, I was, working in the service industry and found my way into a relatively young craft beer scene in the United States, and started working there, where I spent the next 10 years working for, two rather good-sized breweries. And, it's interesting because when I started there, it was a pretty young industry. There was often like resource constraints, headcount constraints, which, really taught me to figure out how to be economical with my time, figure out how to, come up with creative ways to get things done that, much larger beer companies were, had full teams working on. So I really learned a lot about how to, be creative in my problem solving and really, do more with less, I know, which is a ties into our scale CS conversation. And really to come out of that, when I started, I just graduated, as I said, and I was single. I didn't have any children. And by the time I left, I was lucky enough to be married to my wife and have my twin daughters. And so that industry isn't super conducive on certain levels to family. And so that was when I sort of made my way into technology and found Catalyst.
I think you're perhaps the first person I've encountered in customer success that's started in craft beer. I mean, that what I love that. I love that career. I love that jump there. That's just amazing to me. I think it's always interesting when you hear no. I mean, very rarely is anyone's career journey into customer success straightforward at all, but craft beer is an incredible one and delicious as well. So
Yeah, it can always help if we ever meet in person. I'll be happy to recommend some beers from the list.
oh, absolutely. I mean that. I mean that's a whole other podcast in and of itself. That's super relevant for this. But thank you very much for introducing me yourself there, because I think it. I think it's going to really open it up the discussion for what I think is going to be, really interesting, especially because in our introduction call we were talking about the role of community and really how it's, you mentioned it's like community is the linchpin, I guess, of your scaling strategy at Catalyst. So I'm quite curious, just to start off with, could you elaborate on why the role of community is so core to your approach at Catalyst? Because communities, for any listeners and maybe not entirely familiar, a community is obviously a group of people with a shared interest who communicate in this in an online community, communicate over the internet. So in the sense of Catalyst, I was quite curious to know what makes it the backbone of your product, your program, your organization.
Yeah, absolutely. I think really when you look at a scale CS program, which to me, I think really it's the future of CS. There's a lot of companies that are coming around to it. It's one of the things I talk about most probably is just going transitioning to a scale program. And when you're doing that, you're going away from a traditional one-to-one model of CS, where a CSM is meeting on some sort of cadence with the customer. They're working through, issues they might have. They're answering questions that might come up, or they're answering emails that the customer is sending them. And when you go into scale, there's just not enough bandwidth for one person to be doing that with the size of the customer base. So you need to have some sort of medium where people can come together, they can get that same level of service, they can get that same level of value from your organization, but they have to do it in a way that makes sense for the person running that scale program so that they're not working, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so that's really where the community comes in. And I think the cool thing is it allows you to cover some of those traditional CS, tasks, but it also gives you a forum to create new tasks, new ways to accomplish that as well. So, whereas we might have been helping, build out something in Catalyst over a call one-to-one, we can take those most commonly, asked for builds, and we can create that video in Catalyst where it's me doing it step by step at a pace that's really, easy to follow along, as well as having the written instructions in that post in the community. So whether you're a visual learner, whether you like to follow a step-by-step instruction, you're able to still get that. You can ask questions there and you can have them answered. And I think the questions aspect of it is probably, it sounds very dry and boring, but I think of it this way, if you're talking to the CSM, for a product you're using and you ask them a question, you can get their knowledge with that product, however long they've been with the company. You can possibly get examples they have from their book of business as well. When you look at doing it in a community, you take imagine that you're getting that CSM's knowledge, stories from that CSM's book of business. You're also getting it because being put out to the broader customer base, you're getting basically every CSM at that company's book of business, the stories from them. You're getting that CSM, the rest of the CS team. And then, at Catalyst too, we bring in product team as well to answer questions in the community. So it really opens it up to a whole breadth of communication that you didn't really have available to you when you were just talking to a CSM, or that might be delayed from them going back and forth trying to find an answer for you and then coming back.
I was actually just thinking when you were saying that, is it just a catalyst, because it is it just the CSM answering or perhaps a community manager? I love that you're bringing in other aspects of the business and sort of sharing ownership as well, because I mean, while a CSM will have probably a lot of product knowledge, it does help to involve the rest of the business in and sort of making customer success actually a business-wide priority as well, because and rather than just leaving it to, oh no, it's the post-sales lot, actually,
Yeah, absolutely. And we have, we've set up a way for when we have new posts in the community, they go into Slack, so there is that visibility. And then it's really easy to just tag in a product person from my perspective to just go in and say, tag them in that Slack post and say, hey, can you jump on the community and answer this question for this person? And so it really condenses that timeline of getting an answer to a question. And the other CSMs as well can help me out too. If I have a gap, I can tag one of them and say, hey, I think one of your customers had this, and let them jump in. So it's a great way, not only for your scale customers, but what we've seen really early on, which is really interesting, is that what's good for scale is really good for the rest of the book of business as well. So we, when we do events, when we have questions being asked in the community, they're not just coming from our scale customers. They're actually coming from enterprise customers as well, mid-market customers. And so you actually get this nice blend of across your whole book of business participating in the community, which really gives it that more context, that fuller response when people are asking questions.
It sounds like it's not, yeah, like you just said, it's not just a particular, like you expect, a certain group of customers. It's a bit of a cross-section of Catalyst's entire customer base, which is, I guess, exactly what you want, really. I was thinking when you were saying that, though, and I guess this is more of a question for this is a question really about scale in general, but I wanted to sort of tie it to looking at scaling with communities. But when we were talking about this episode before, you mentioned the importance of giving the community a face, and I that really struck me, like the idea of you don't want it to feel faceless. So, and of course, one of the big challenges when you are scaling up an organization or a scaling CS function, you want to try and do it efficiently and well, but also maintaining that personal touch. So I can imagine when you get more and more people within the community and it grows and grows, how do you, yeah, I mean, like, how do you keep that face? There must be some, there must be some key differences between relying perhaps solely on one to one interaction, sorry, versus utilizing a whole community. So yeah, how do you think you tackle that at Catalyst? How do you maintain that face, that personal touch when scaling a CS function with a community?
Yeah, I mean, this was something that we talked about early on. So when we were very early in building our community, we looked at a lot of different ways to put this information out, to put these, build videos, like I mentioned, out. And there were definitely tools that, you can feed a script into, and it'll walk through a video of you going through it, and the script will kind of walk people through it. And one thing we all felt right from the get-go, and Sydney Strader, our VP of CS here at Catalyst, was really big on, was you can't have that feeling of like a knowledge base from a large company. Like if you've used any products from a larger company, you go to their knowledge base, it's an AI voice that's walking you through something, and it feels very like I'm just getting pushed to this automated system. And so we wanted to not have that feel. So we made a very conscious effort for me to actually record the videos. Our implementation team has put their whole process for implementation into the community, and both of our IMs have created different videos that they worked on together, so that when you're going in there, you're actually seeing someone who works at Catalyst walking you through this. I host the majority of the events. We're looking to hopefully, split that workload a little bit as we get some other people, but always a Catalyst person that's reaching out to you, so that as a scale CSM, you've seen me in a video, and now you're getting maybe an automated email from me that's, trying to help you get, your email integrated through Catalyst. And oh, that's Wes. I watched him build that video on how to create X layout, So I think that that's really important, and it's something that we're planning on sticking by, because there's a feeling that you can just be asking your questions out into the ether, if you're pushed to a community. But when you're going through and there's a consistent face and there's a consistent human voice with the community, it doesn't feel as disconnected as it might with, just a traditional, knowledge base or university for the program.
No, I mean, that sounds spot on, because I think they're probably, for anybody who's not maybe not that familiar with communities or community online spaces, for if you were to play devil's advocate, be like, oh, well, you're just bunching all your customers into one pool and leaving them to their own resources and hoping they'll figure it out for themselves, which obviously couldn't be further from the reality of the situation. Like, there's a lot of like serious planning and strategy, and it's, for their own benefit of the customers to be able to converse, because I mean, that's probably one of the best things about even just like CSC, for example. Like, our Slack community is always like popping off, and it's not a case of just like dumping people and do you know what I mean? So it's in and having a face and regular people, like you were saying, like sort of they recognize you from the videos from Slack, and they'll get emails. I think that's such a vital part to just bring centralize the whole thing. Sorry, I explained that awfully. You've explained it way better, but
No, I think you're spot on. I think you're spot on. I think it's, it really is. It's nobody wants to be told that they're, going to something where, there's only this one resource, and they don't really have that connection with like an actual CSM. So we're creating that without having to, maintain those manual one-to-one kind of communications. So I think it's super important. And it's embarrassing when I jump on a call with somebody if they go on office hours and they're like, hey, I recognize you from the videos. But it is good to know that it is working, and that they're seeing those videos and following along with them.
Oh, definitely. I think I was thinking though, in our sorry, just sort of segueing slightly, I was thinking, preparing for this episode and thinking, like, what, community obviously is, as I mentioned before, very important to CSC, incredibly important for Catalyst. But I think managing a community as your business is scaling and trying to make sure that it remains adaptable is a challenge in and of itself, especially as like your customers, their own needs evolve. How does Catalyst deal with that? Remaining, how does making your community, your scale community, remain agile, and what kind of ways do you use to combat, to sort of, or not combat, sounds a bit aggressive. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, for sure. I think agile, and I think also relevant is important. Like, I mean, you're only going to be providing value for the I mean, this sounds redundant, but you're only providing value if what you're putting out is valuable, right? Like
Yeah. Oh.
if you internally think it's really valuable and you push it out, but you go and look and no one's viewing that post or no one's watching that video to the end, then is it really valuable? The
Yeah.
answer is no. And so, one thing Catalyst has always been really good at, and I was lucky to come into a CS org that already had adopted this, is customer feedback. I mean, and it's not just you get surveys all the time, but there's follow-up on our surveys when we have customers fill them out. We do a post-implementation survey, a mid-cycle survey, a post-renewal survey, and really we get feedback from those that is implemented into our processes at Catalyst. And so it's a culture, I guess, of feedback that already existed at Catalyst. And so for me, when it came to building the community, it was the same thing. The first thing we did was, let's come up with a game plan internally of how we want to do this, and then let's go to customers and see how this would be received by them. See, and there were definitely things that we had in that first draft that they were like, no, I don't need another, this or another that. So, and so we scrapped them, I mean, I think the rigidity of thinking that, like, exactly what's best for your customers, it can be a fool's errand at time, because your customers are going to tell you what's best for your customers, So I think we're creating that feedback. And then, as well, you have to be analytical about it. You have to, we have, we use vanilla for our community platform, and we're able to go in and look at analytics for posts. I've been doing quarterly audits of our actual content that's in there. And then the last part of that is really just, you have to be willing to fail. I know it sounds kind of cliche, but I spoke with
Not full.
someone early on about their scale program, and one thing that she told me was, the most important thing is just to keep trying stuff, and you have to just try and analyze what worked and what didn't, and be willing to double down on the things that worked, and be willing to just completely scrap the things that didn't work and move on. Like, you're gonna have things that you think are great and fail. And that's fine. You can't be overly invested in it. You put it out there to the best of your ability, and if no one's receiving it well, then you just move on to the next thing. And conversely, you're going to have things that you feel like might be just throwaway things for the community, and all of a sudden you're getting tons of comments or tons of people viewing that post, then that you've struck a nerve that maybe you didn't know exists. And so I guess the great thing about the community is there is sort of an instant feedback loop of who's viewing the post, who's commenting on the post. You can kind of quickly see, what's working and what's not.
Oh no, thank you for that. I was just thinking, like, how this is going a bit off piste here, but when you're getting feedback about maybe the processes you've been developing for your online community, like, and if you find out something's not working quite well, or maybe, yeah, like you said, a video didn't land, or maybe you've been getting too many messages, like, what sort of how frequently do you evaluate those kind of things and think, right, how can we like stop that? What can we do instead? Like, what's the sort of time frame would you say? You tend to do that at Catalyst. Is it something you look on a monthly basis, quarterly, or every few days? I don't,
Yeah, I think right now it's so, I will say a couple different things. So right now, for just overall content on the community, I'm working on a quarterly basis of going through and just looking at the things that, within the past, we'll say 90 days for quarterly evaluation, like, what are the things that no one's, viewing at all? And can we just get rid of that in the community? And then I think for events, we have a much tighter turturnaround, because, for when we have, for instance, with our customer-led growth layouts, we just did build workshops for them. I can get an immediate sense of, how many people attended that event, and then go back through and follow up with them on that event. And I've included surveys to get feedback on, like, where we could pick up the pace, or if we need to slow it down in these build workshops. And so I think with events, it's kind of a twofold. With events, there's a much tighter turnaround time on that evaluation. And then with content, right now we're working on a quarterly basis. And I think that's been pretty good. I think we're seeing some things that we put in early on that don't have as much traction that we're able to get rid of. But I think on a quarterly basis, it aligns well too with, roadmap goals and what we're trying to, focus on as a company for our customers. I think that quarterly basis provides a good time frame.
I guess also when you're sort of using community for scale, I think you touched on this before, but value obviously needs to be obviously at the heart of everything you're doing. And I think I mentioned before, there's that sort of, I guess, that sort of, if someone's playing devil's advocate, like, oh, it's a degradation of service. Brilliant. So I guess, how do you continually communicate and demonstrate value through communities and show that actually this is a, an incredibly useful space, online space for them to be, rather than, like you said, the sort of huge, big tech companies? Is it, would you say it's through the sort of, before you mentioned showing a face, making sure that people know that it's not just some sort of automated chat bot or something like that. How do you show, like, continually show value in the products? Is that just make sort of signposting that, if someone's got a query about maybe, I don't know, something with the products or a glitch or something, do you sort of somebody in your team or somebody in the company sort of demonstrate that actually they are taking their feedback on and that it has been fixed or is being attended to? Is that kind of, I'm just quite curious to know.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So I think there's a couple of different things here. So I think at the very beginning, we're in a process now where we have customers that are coming into this at the beginning of, implementation. They know that this is going to be their main resource. And so that is a whole different thing. But as we transition customers that were previously in, a traditional model to the scale model, I think that was hugely important that we show them this is the value that you're going to get from it. And I think when we started to lay that out, it was really easy to do. It was really clear. I mean, you think about the fact that you've got 24/7 access to this community, whereas you're not going to have that to a CSM. You can go on and find a build video for how to build a layout with on Saturday in that middle of the afternoon, if that's when your work schedule allows. But if you email me on Saturday, you're not going to hear back, So I think there's that aspect of having that 24/7 access. Another big part was we worked as a whole CS team to really identify what were the most frequently asked questions, what were the most common builds that other CSMs were doing on calls, to really make sure that the value was there. So, and we still have that feedback loop from the CS team of like, hey, I'm having a lot of people needing help building X. So then, okay, let's get a video of that in the community. And then the other way that I think of it really is about bringing people back to the community in a certain way is, we use Catalyst for it, but basically we're able to identify, feature gaps with a customer. Then we can have playbooks and Catalyst that send them emails that say like, hey, we know that you have had trouble integrating email. Like, here's a video in the community that shows you how to integrate email. And if you've already done that and you're not having a problem with it, here's two videos in the that show you how to utilize email now that you have it integrated. So we're using Catalyst in coordination with our community to really constantly be reinforcing that value of like, this exists in the community. Come to the community and see where it is. And so, one thing I learned, it's funny, using the platform that we use for community, they're obviously, we're a customer of theirs. And our CSM left at one point and there was a little gap. And so I started just going to their community to ask questions and to look for things. And what I realized is once you get in the habit of it, it's so much easier than emailing a CSM and waiting for a response. And so I think there is a little bit of a learned behavior, but I think when you reinforce that value with like, hey, you could be more successful if you had email integrated, and here's videos in the community that show you exactly how to do it step by step, then people start to understand, okay, this should be my first stop. This is where I go first to look for things. And then once they get into that motion, it really is, it's a really valuable resource. I mean, that's all there is to it. I know I manage it, so it may sound a little self-aggrandizing, but
Not at all.
it really is.
I mean, I guess it's just really making sure that everything they could need is there without being overwhelming. Like, rather than just chucking it all and being like, what is this? Like a mosaic of like Catalyst, which I'm sure would be beautiful, but like that's not going to be helpful for anyone who's trying to find a specific thing. So, oh, that's so interesting. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think those just a, I think those email playbooks, they do a great job of that, because that's another thing. What you just brought up is definitely something that was top of mind for us. Is you go in there's a ton of content. How do you go? How do you start? And there's ways that we're able to prioritize content in the community, but I think that really using the collaboration of Catalyst as a platform with reinforcing with links to the community is a really a powerful combo.
No, it sounds it. No, thank you for that. I was also one thinking just then, like I guess when you're scaling your business, and this is going to be, communication is obviously at the core for whether it's marketing or customer success, but when you're scaling your operations, having a watertight segmentation strategy, I would have thought is pretty vital for when you're for this sort of scale up process. But in community, when you're using communities to scale, how does that work? So how do you ensure that you're reaching all the right people with the right thing, like relevant information? So whether they're, because you mentioned you haven't before, you had a you'll have some customers who've only ever first been to the community, whereas you'll have previous customers who were on, older, the sort of the more traditional CSM client sort of relationship. So if you've got enterprise accounts, you've got mid-market, how can you make sure that everybody is sort of feeling like they're catered for and that the community is for them? I can imagine that's quite a hard, is that, to me that sounds like a quite a bit of a hot, tricky balance to make, but I don't know, I'd love to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I mean, so it kind of goes back to it goes back to what I was saying earlier, where I think what's good for scale is good for all. And so there is definitely a baseline of anything that I put out for scale should be relevant for mid-market and enterprise customers as well. It's not to say that I'm not going to target certain things to scale customers specifically, but the what we've seen as we've been working it out is that the majority of things, a lot of times we'll put stuff out, so like the build workshops I mentioned, for instance, those were really geared towards scale customers, because the managed customers have an opportunity to go in with their CSM and kind of talk through these and maybe schedule some separate time to really help build those out in a one-to-one basis. But what we found was, I mean, in reality, there's just different personality types, and you can work for an enterprise company and be someone who would like to just watch a step-by-step video versus being on a 30-minute live Zoom call. You know what I mean? So, I think there really is that there's that balance, but I think our mantra, sort of, if you want to call it that, would be that what's good for scale is good for the entire company. And so that's really helped us as we start to build things like this needs to be for scale, but what we realized was it really is beneficial for everyone.
No, that's beautifully put. I think that's yeah, that sort of just kind of opened my eyes a bit about that, because I think you do think, oh, communities or community programs or things, it's for sort of lower touch customers. But I guess that everybody, not every, yeah, like you said, not everybody wants to be having to take, having, emailing their CSM, or sometimes you just want to quickly find it out for yourself. So, I mean, everyone, yeah, and that, yeah, what you said, sorry, waffled that completely, but that sounds spot on.
Yeah, it really is. It's something that someone told me early on, as I was, but when I was setting up the community, really kind of going out and maybe this is, I started as an SDR at Catalyst, and maybe this comes from that, but I went out and basically just found people on LinkedIn or saw people listening to people's podcasts, similar to this one, and just found someone and just reached out to them via LinkedIn and said like, hey, I would love to ask you some questions about scale, about community. And that was one of the things that I was told early, is that you'll find out really quickly that what's good for scale is good for the whole business. And so, yeah, it's a great way to go about it. And I highly recommend hit people up on LinkedIn. If you send them a note with that connection request and you tell them what you're doing, PS people are very inclined to respond. Just as a PSA, if you've never messaged people on LinkedIn, CS community is very kind and very giving with their time, and it's been really beneficial for me.
They absolutely are. I mean, as somebody who does speak to quite a lot of CSMs or CS leaders of all, all levels of seniority, I've got to say, you're all a very friendly bunch, and you're all very a very enthusiastic bunch about your work as well. So it's an absolute delight. So yeah, if anybody's like, you know, either doing some networking or has a question just to do with scale or whatever it is, like, yeah, definitely don't be afraid because CS folks are very friendly.
Yeah, for sure.
I was thinking more generally about scaling, but obviously when you I was thinking about scale and SLAs, so service level agreements. How when you scale your business, obviously, you know, goes without saying your customer base is, you know, broadening, globalizing maybe. So obviously communities are the best place, as you said, they're 24/7. But I don't know if would you have, I guess I'm guessing you have to be crystal clear about your service level agreement. So I was wondering how does it work at Catalyst? Do you how do or just in general really, how do you manage and prioritize influx of questions from, I mean, I don't even know how many people are in the Catalyst community actually, but like influx of questions, concerns, and you know, ensuring that each query is addressed within, you know, the stipulated response time as per your SLA.
Sure. Yeah. So I think this is something that we're going to continue to monitor. I think right now what we're looking at is we have a 4 hour within business hours, East Coast time, we have 4 hour SLA. So
Right, okay.
that's for first response. Typically, first response is I can respond with an answer to the question. Occasionally there will be something that maybe I need to get someone to come in and answer for me, but always to give a first response, again, to go back so that people don't feel like their questions are just hanging out there. Like if you've ever asked a question on an online forum and it's just no responses, no likes, no
No.
comments,
Oh, it's the worst.
it's miserable. You're like, is in it, is this thing working? Am I even sending this out? So
Yeah.
no matter whether I have an answer or not, getting a response within that first 4 hours, business, you know, business hours, East Coast. And then I think the other big piece of this too is support. Our support team at Catalyst, they're next level. And I think that the way that they operate, the way they are quick at getting back, supports the community in a really great way. And it's something, again, that we're clear about at the onset, you know, technical questions, things not working in the platform, you know, any issues you might be experiencing with like something loading or be it, something's not functioning the way it was when you know, went through the video. We make it very clear that that goes to support, which helps alleviate, you know, a little bit of the load of the burden of questions that are
Yeah.
in the Catalyst community. And really what we end up getting in the Catalyst this is what I'm trying to do. And I'm curious if there's a way to go about it or if someone else has done this. And so it's really, they can be industry specific. They can be, you know, really just Catalyst specific. And that's where, you know, my knowledge of that is really integral. I can come in and just answer questions quickly or ping another CSM to answer a question for me quickly.
Yeah.
But I think that'll be changing too. My director, Rob, is really good about managing and making sure that we're cognizant of how much time is being spent answering those questions to make sure that it's not, you know, outsizing the time I have available in my work week.
Sure.
And then, you know, when it does get to that, then that'll be a conversation that we're able to have because we're, you know, keeping a monitor on that to make sure that, you know, he wants to make sure that I'm not being worked into the ground, which I appreciate.
No, definitely. I mean, it sounds like so would you so at so for example, at CSE we have community managers and obviously we have all the relevant people within that in that team, obviously being active in the community. But for you know, so do you have a similar setup? Do you have, you know, obviously support? Do you have a community manager role? Is it, you know, how does that sort of collaboration work? Is it sort of mutual, is it mutual, you know, shared like pretty evenly or
So we can start the second podcast now because you're actually talking to the community manager here at
are
Catalyst.
you?
I'm currently doing both, but I think right now it's a pretty feasible role. We're still in that very, you know, we started our scale program really earlier this year. So I think for me right now, programmatically, a lot of our community programming is still tied back to Catalyst. So my knowledge as a CSM using Catalyst has really proven to be able to help us do that.
Yeah.
And then what I've taken on is, and again, this, I mean, I'm not trying to plug SDRs, but they are the unsung heroes. But As going back to being an SDR, I think, just being creative in the way you message people. And, I was used to making videos to try to get people's attention, sending quick answers via, videos. And so I think that lent itself really well to me creating content in the community. So from a program aspect in the community, I've taken that on as well. There may be a time where we need to add in a second person, but I think right now it's feasible for me to do both the community and the scale CSM portion. So yeah, I'm handling both right now, but yeah, it's going well so far. And that's another thing that we're managing, as far as time spent on what I do, my director and I keep a pretty close eye on that to make sure that we have the enough time in the week to do things.
I mean, I guess like that's one of the things, I guess, when any kind of like sort of project, and it's early, like you said, you start at the beginning of the year. I think you're bound to be spilling plates. I mean, I know that's what we happened when we launched Customer Success Collective. We didn't have a community manager till last year sometimes. So it was a good year and I think a year and a half without one. So it's kind of, you do sort of just muck in, I guess, don't you?
Yeah, and I think it's good. It's a good way to go through and like you said, you're having that personal touch on it. When it's just one person that's managing that personal touch, it's easy to get a clear voice. And then I think once we get a voice established, if we need to bring someone else in, it's easier to continue that voice than it is to try to like establish a voice with more than one person, that you might get conflicting kind of not messages, but just a tone, a conflicting tone if you're trying to manage it between two people.
No, definitely. You're spot on about that. Yeah, completely. I think it could be very confusing in an early dev community just to have classic case of too many cooks spoil the broth. Like it's you wanting to create like a single, you want a unified brand, tone of voice, and one person, I guess, in the beginning part is definitely a good way to stabilize it and making sure that there's a sort of consistency, I would have thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was curious actually. Obviously, forever curious in this podcast episode.
Yeah,
What when it comes to like engagement, and obviously you're, scale CSM stroke community manager. So what's like strategies and best practices have you noticed that are really, I don't know, that seem to really work? They seem to be encouraging user engagement and making, most importantly, because it's one thing getting people into community, but it's another thing getting, keeping them to come back, and keep sort of that flow of questions and, interactions with one another. But are there any, hot tips or something that trade secrets that you could share?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're still, I think it's still, I think everything is still a work in progress. So I think we're gonna, always look at doubling down on the things that work and scrapping the things that don't work. And that is the same for engagement things as well. So one thing that we found is as every company's doing, you're putting out, feature releases or highlighting some new product feature. And one thing that we found that really works is going into the community and creating videos about like the why this is valuable as a feature or the best practice around that feature is one thing that we found that like people want to come in. They don't just want to see like, oh, Catalyst has new feature A. They want to see like, how do I use this feature? How do I get value from this feature? And so creating videos like that that aren't just product announcements that are more of best practices. And then I think what I'd like to do in the future too is really get into more, and I'm not crazy about this term, but more thought leadership sort of post in the community to really engage people around. I think one thing that we've recognized and that Callus is focused on is leading growth through customers. So customer-led growth and really customer success being an engine for revenue at companies. So really starting to talk about that more and engaging and seeing where our customers are with that. Is this something that your executive team is coming at you to create? Is it something that's not as relevant? What is relevant? I think when you start to get in those kinds of posts, you can really get comments back. I mean, I look at our CRO, things that he's posted through LinkedIn and the kind of interaction that he gets. I think it's all around sort of that type of thing. So I think that'll be the future as we go in and start to try to
stem on those conversations that are outside of just using the Catalyst platform, so that people are coming back to say like, well, I have a question, but like they might just be coming on to say like, I want to see if, you know, if Catalyst has posted anything on, you know, better ways to onboard or different types of onboarding practices. So just to come in and look at that.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of making sure that you're, again, without overwhelming, but like diversifying the type of content, whether that's product content, like, you know, how-to videos, and making sure that there's something, other types of content, like actually to keep people's interest, you know, keep people. Yeah, that sounds very, very smart. I guess also I'm quite interested in knowing about what the future's really like for community-led growth and customer success, because, you know, I think community is becoming more and more, you know, I wouldn't say common, but we are seeing communities crop up more and more. And obviously the digital landscape, you know, is continues to evolve. But what do you see as perhaps the next big challenge or opportunity for community-led customer success scaling? And maybe how's Catalyst preparing for it? Love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think really the future is, you know, so you, with these scale customers, you've got a larger customer base. I mean, you know, there's only so many, you know, large, you know, billion-dollar companies out there, so that, you know, your company is not going to be able to have all of them. But, you know, when you are able to, you know, provide value to a much larger customer base of smaller customers, that really is, like I said, I think this scale motion is going to be the future, because you can't just keep hiring more and more CSMs to manage all these customers and then overloading those CSMs with really large books of business and asking them to do one-to-one motions. So I think that scale CS really is going to be the future. And then I think, you know, what we're seeing right now, I mean, as far as right now in the future, is that companies are relying on their customer base for revenue. You know, the ability to bring in new business in a way that we used to do it doesn't exist anymore. And so I think the more you can rely on, you know, a community program to facilitate those expansions within your customer base, then the more, I mean, you're not only doing more with less, I'm doing air quotes because we're on a podcast, I realize, you're not only doing more with less, but you're also like, you're truly growing your customer base and the revenue for your company through that community with an easier lift than you would normally have to do with a one-to-one CS motion. So I think that really is the future for us. It's an opportunity for us to learn how we do that in the community. How do we find those opportunities for expansion with customers that are utilizing the communities, whether it's through, you know, polls in the community or some sort of, you know, I think we're still working on it. We have a couple ideas, you know, in the works, and it'll go back to what I said. We'll try them all and we'll see which one works, and we'll scrap the ones that don't. And we'll go from there. I'm lucky, and I've said this already in the podcast, but I'm lucky to come from a really great CS org here at Catalyst that is always thinking, that is always supporting, you know, when I come up with ideas, from our renewal manager, Mel, who I know you talked to, and the rest of our CS team, to really support me. And when I come up with one of these ideas that maybe is a little bit out of the box or is not as traditional, and going to them to say like, is this, how will this work? Will this work? Mm-hmm. Can we try this? You know, can this fit in a way that we already have our expansion process set up for scale customers? And so I think that really is the next frontier for us, is how do we find those opportunities with our customers to know when they're ready to grow and expand with Catalyst, you know, further than where they are.
Now, that sounds like, I guess you just wanted to make sure, I think from what you just said, that it sounds like making sure that you're constantly checking in with you're the sales scale CSM, making sure that you're continually checking in with other members of the CS team and getting a better understanding of what actually is your customers are needing at that specific point, because customers' needs will change. Like you mentioned, with the economy at the moment, like sales teams aren't bringing in as many sales across the board, really, or customers don't have the budget. So there's a huge amount of more, I guess, customer success is even more important than ever. And these spaces are, yeah, they are the future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, you know, customer-led growth, I think in general is the future. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's what we're focusing on. And I think it's just, how do we continue to find new ways to grow our customers and meet them where they are and provide value for them in that growth process? And how do we identify those via the community versus a traditional one-to-one call? And so, like I said, I think to me, to, you know, that's still a work in progress, and we'll be trying that out. I mean, it's top of mind, and it's definitely something that we're going to be working on.
No, absolutely. I guess it is that there is trial and error. It's, I think what's really, I think probably quite a great takeaway for communities is don't be scared to fail. I think that's a very, very good tip. Like, cause you can just, yeah, okay, that didn't work. Let's move on. You know, it's, I don't know. I think it lends itself to that quite well. But for like some parting advice for this podcast, because unfortunately we're running out of time, for any listeners wondering how to start a community or what are the first steps that they should probably take? You know, for example, you said Catalyst Scale program only really started, or the community started earlier in the year. I think that's very interesting to me. And like, what advice would you give to any listeners for getting started, you know, on the right foot? Or what are those really, really essential elements that they should be focusing on if they're wanting to build a community for their customers?
Yeah, I mean, it just goes back to, this was a team effort with the CS team at Catalyst, but I think it's, you have to, you know, once you've identified the segment of your customers that's going to go in, which I shouldn't shortchange that, that should be, you know, your leadership should be looking at exactly how they want to segment the customers to decide who's going to be a part of this program. But once you've got that done, you have to really look at what you want your community to be. And that sounds very obvious, but I think in the sense of, does your company have a knowledge base? How often is that used? Do you have a, you know, company university that people use? Is it going to be just for information? Is it going to be just for questions? Is it going to be just for, you know, what is it going to be for? Really dial in. What are you going to use it for? And then you've got to go to your CS team and you've got to find out what is going to be the most beneficial. One of the things that we talked about early on is if people come to the customer community when we launch it, and they can't find what they need, or they don't find it valuable, they're not coming back, you know. And I'll go back to my days in the service industry. They say, if you go into a restaurant or bar and you leave, there's an 80% chance that you're not coming back that day. So that's why people always want to make sure that they have food on their menu if you're having drinks. And so that's the same idea going into this community is, if they come here, we want them to stay here. We want them to find what they need, to find value immediately when they come to the community. And so for that, you have to know what your customers need. And so that was really where we started that process with implementation, renewal, CS, of going through and saying, what are things that you're constantly providing to your customers? What are builds that you're constantly doing on calls? What are questions that are coming up, you know, for implementation? What questions are coming up, you know, over and over again that don't seem to have a satisfactory answer outside of you talking to them personally? And so when you start from that base, then you can look and say, what resources do we have already that exist that maybe we can put in the community? And then what don't exist at all that we need to create, and that we need to create purposefully for this community, for customers to come here and find them. So that would be the easiest way to say it is find out what you want your community to be for.
Yeah.
And then go to the rest of your CS team and start crowdsourcing that information and finding what is most valuable to your existing customer base, because likely that's going to be what's most valued to your future customer base as well. And then once you get that, it's just simply iterating on what works and what doesn't work.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, that was a masterclass in scaling customer success with communities. Absolutely love that. Thank you. And I think this is probably going to be super relevant for a lot of customer success managers or customer success leaders in SaaS spaces, where, or even outside of SaaS as well, because like we said before, like, communities probably are going to be the future. They're an incredible resource that, and beneficial for the customers as well. So I think it's Yeah, I think this episode is going to ring true for a lot of people, and hopefully for people that have been thinking about do we start up a community? Hopefully this is going to give them the inspiration to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so. It's a valuable tool, and I'm happy to, like I said, PSA for reaching out on LinkedIn. Feel free to ping me and leave me a note, and I'll do my best to connect with you as soon as I can.
Absolutely. I'll pop your LinkedIn URL in the show notes so everyone can find it easily. So if you've got any messages and any ideas or any just thoughts about this podcast and want to connect with Wes, do so because he's as I said, it was a masterclass in communities and customer success. So thank you very, very much. And it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. And I hope you've enjoyed yourself. It's been a really lovely conversation and very interesting as well.
Yeah, I had a great time. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. And yeah, this was a great way for me to start my day here.
Oh, super. Thank you so much, Wes.
You're welcome.